Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session, which is reserved to analysts only. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Two questions. I've seen that you have reduced quite significantly your stock of domestic govies. If I'm not mistaken, you mentioned something like 4 billion euros on a quarter-on-quarter basis. I've noticed in the annexes that part of it relates to the fair value through the P&L category securities, which in the past, also in the Q3, have shown a significant volatility. So this may inflate your actual stock of govies, so increasing the risk perception of your group without actually contributing significantly to the revenues. Can we assume that in the future, this reduction in the bonds held in the fair value through the P&L is reduced so that the actual holding is more limited than in the past, so that the peaks that we have seen, for example, in the Q3 2019, in September 2019, and also last year, is reduced? So this is my first question. And whether the reduction in the domestic govies is something that will be part of the strategy going forward. And the second question is more confrontational, if I may. The beat in terms of CET1 is impressive. You have 12.8%. You also have made a much better job in terms of de-risking vis-à-vis the business plan. What is missing here, in my view, is the payout ratio. The business plan was 40%. Here you are in the region of 15%-20%, depending on what you look at in terms of adjusted EPS. So I was wondering whether shall we take this prudence in terms of dividend payout in a context where banks, we have seen, for example, UniCredit today raising the payout from 40%-50%, Intesa is 70%. I was wondering whether we shall take this kind of prudence as something of the regulatory headwinds in the context of the plan will be significant, so we have to keep a large buffer compared with, for example, with your MDA, or how shall we read this relatively low payout ratio, and whether the 40%-50% is an ambition in terms of payout that you may reach in a couple of years' time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Razzoli. Good evening. I would say the final year reduction in trading activities is quite normal for our bank. Normally, we have 1.5 billion-2 billion less in the end of the year. So this, if you consider also the previous year, is something that you will see year on year. So I wouldn't consider this as a stable situation because, of course, we have also had a very good activity in trading, bringing profitability. And so we will, of course, cautiously and try not to make absorb so much capital. But, of course, this is something that we will exploit over the year. I wouldn't say that this will bring volatility in this respect because, of course, it's much more volatile held-to-collect and sales. As you know, we have reduced the stake in this asset class, and we have mostly under the held-to-maturity. Thank you for the second question. Finally, I can be considered a bank like the others. So we are talking about having the same payout of the very good bank. It was not easy to convince everybody that we could become a normal bank during these 3 years. But nevertheless, don't forget that it's the first year after many years that we go back to dividends. I think nobody was expecting this kind of results. we have to be still to be prudent. Remember that what everybody undermined, which is the fact that we are the only one who went under a merger into the ECB era, is something that has forced that to assume a lot of prudent approach to the capital. So let's say that even in this very happy situation and good situation, we are assuming some prudence and approach in order, again, to be able to offset anything which should come from the regulatory, and you know that, of course, something will come, but we are still confident that we can be easily above the target of common equity that I mentioned always as my target, that we, which is to be above, well above 12%.
Can I make a follow up on capital, if I may? Hello.
I didn't get the question. Sorry.
No, sorry. If follow up on capital. In the Q3 or Q2 conference call, you had included a margin of conservatism in your CET1 that you were expecting to revert at year end. Is this taking place in this quarter?
No, it's still there. So no reverse. We are still under the, I would say, the IRB revaluation model by ECB. I think this will terminate during this year. As you know, I cannot talk on behalf of ECB, so this is something that will terminate when we will have the final answer relating to the famous LGD aspect on the de-risking that we mentioned many times during these 3 years.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. The first question is on, let's say, top line. You said that the net interest income should be under pressure. I mean, still a little bit weaker than in the past, due also to the fact that you realized some capital gain on government bonds and also the evolution of Euribor and so on. So I was wondering, should we look at revenues in a different way going forward, in the sense that we have to look at net interest income combined with trading income? Because if I look at the slide 17, you still have some 870 million euro unrealized capital gain on your financial portfolio. So should you expect some higher trading income compared to the past recurring trading income, and maybe a little bit lower net interest income? And on net interest income, did we see the tiering effect already in the fourth quarter? And still on net interest income, there is any possibility to optimize liquidity, and maybe your liquidity coverage ratio seems to be quite high compared to the past, so I don't know if you want to share with us some room to optimize that liquidity. The second question is on capital. Very good, indeed. I think that there is room to further improve the Common Equity Tier 1 due to the buffer of conservatives, but also some other maybe stakes that you can reduce as you did in this quarter, like Cariati. I was wondering, what is your thought on how to use that capital? It's better to increase payout or maybe still to reduce the gross NP ratio that is very good compared to the starting point, but still at 9%. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrese. Very articulated. I will try to do my best to give the best answer to your question. We wanted to show, of course, NFR has something to do with the reduction of NII. We can consider when you have such a reserve, you can opportunistically decide what to do. But having said that, we're happy to have the reserve, but we will fight to sustain the NII as much as we can. Of course, in the strategy of managing the balance sheet, there are opportunities. when you have such reserves, the opportunity comes easier. As you mentioned, this can be used to, if we need to further reduce NPE, to whatever we decide into the strategic plan to foster some costs. So we don't think that we will perform every year a sort of capitalization of the reserves. We did the 1 billion sales last quarter also because there was a sort of inversion of the trend in the govies. You can remember that after the reduction of the spread in the third quarter, then the sort of fear on the regional election was bringing up again the interest rate. So we decided to take advantage from a very huge amount of reserves. I would just say that we say that more than with NFR, we will try to compensate any reduction of NII with an intensive activity in commission. Also for this, I hope that now we can have some credibility. As much as I was telling all of you that I was not worried of the results in the last part of last year and beginning of this year, driven by problems that we are having through the reorganization and for many other problems, now we are increasing. I have to say that January was even better than the average of the last quarter. February is still very, very good. So I would say that in terms of commission and asset under management, bank assurance, we still have to start. We are now finally in a good situation with the new joint venture. We are finally with the network very well focused on that. And all the bank, as I mentioned also last quarter, will be very much focused on that. Capital, happy that you consider is very good, I do the same, but nevertheless, I had the problem in the last year to be every quarter in the need of produce capital in order to offset headwinds or problems. During the business plan, I will give you the figure of capital that you have produced during these 3 years in order to offset the problem that we had, and is a figure which almost double the current common equity tier 1. So we are in no worry about possibility and capability of capital production, but having said that, we consider safe being still under, I would say, the final part of our merger to conserve a buffer above the target, which is again 12%.
Sorry, just on NPE, so you are planning some tactical disposal or just mainly internal workout to reduce the stock of NPE?
But I think I showed on the slide where we were showing the constant reduction, I think it was page 25, of the workout is 1.3 billion also this year with a very lower amount of volumes. So we think we can reduce year by year at least 1 billion and so to basically touch the end of the next plan with the famous 5%. But, of course, as I was mentioning before, if we see opportunity, if we decide, you know, an UTP is a bit more different from straight disposal. You have to find, the right combination. For some of these combinations, there is also some change in ECB view, for instance, in the contribution of UTP portfolio into new asset under management company, so we will decide if there are opportunities. We are studying everything, but we don't want, and I repeat, we don't want anymore to pay the price we paid in the first 2 years in order to reduce the stock. We paid more than 5 billion in order to reduce the bad loan. So now we want transactions which are basically with no capital impact or very minimal capital impact. If we found this, we will go ahead. Otherwise, we go with our plan, slowly but effectively towards 5%.
Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Can you please give us a bit of sense, quantitative of course, of all the regulatory headwinds that you expect from now on, just to understand a little bit the evolution of the capital from here, please?
Okay, good evening, Mr. Santoro. I think we will have more detail on that in the strategic plan. I think I gave you already some hint if I say that I want to be safely above 12% as my target, but still, apart from what every bank is expecting, we still have to conclude this LGD application of the model. And so let's wait some months in order to have the result of this. As you know, we have already applied a lot of conservatism, but still we are not in our end, but in ECB end, and so I want to be comfortably in this situation. On top of that, the usual things that you already know, I think there is something in the market risk, something in the AMA, I would say for a total consideration of 30-40 basis points. On top, again, the credit.
All right, sorry. Can I just ask a follow-up question? Because the capital is, of course, is important. I know that you don't want to tell anything now, and of course we will know more in the March presentation, but just understand a little bit more. I mean, as the colleague was mentioning before, there's a big chunk of equity which are at the moment deducted from capital. There is of course other probability levers. So apart from all the points that you mentioned before about the plan, is there any action specifically here that we should expect in order to change or improve even more the quality of the balance sheet? My understanding is that you don't want to change the size of the sovereign portfolio, which is of course something that is under observation from the market because it's NII productive. Also, in the NPE area, you want to be cautious because UTP is different from non-performing. But I mean, qualitatively, what are the actions that we should expect in order to improve even more the quality of the balance sheet at this point?
Again, I'm sure that I will give much more detail on the business plan. We are now commenting only the Q4 results. But basically, I don't know how much more I can say respect I already said. So we will. We have a plan which is, in terms of NPE, is a workout plan. Again, there has been also recently interesting transaction in the field of UTP, which is under our scrutiny. We are considering everything as we did during the first 3 years. We won't lose any opportunity to have some more reduction, but I don't think that this has something to do with the capital buffer, because basically I don't want to spend capital buffer for that. For me, this is a very important year. Maybe it's still a bit difference between our bank and others, but again, I want to solve all the pending situation, which in my opinion are very sound, are very comfortable, but I didn't see, frankly speaking, the need to increase a dividend this year when I know that I have to perform sound profitability also in the next year of the plan. So with the plan, we will understand, I think, better what will be our path in capital generation, revenue generation, and so on. And of course, we won't lose the opportunity to use at best our capital, either in reducing and bettering our balance sheet or in giving back money to our shareholders.
Can I ask also about the increase in the gross non-performing in the quarter, please? The reason behind that.
Sorry. You mean bad loans?
Yes, correct. It's just migration.
Okay, sorry, because I was a bit shocked because we were reducing also the when we talk about increasing, I'm worried. No, it's of course the switch. As you can see, also on page 25, there is a natural switch from UTP to bad loans, which is 32% lower than last year, but nevertheless, some of the UTP come to bad loans naturally. So this is the normal outflows from UTP to bad loans.
All right. Thank you very much for your answer. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I was wondering what's inside the 63 million of provision for risk and charges of the fourth quarter. I think I read it is something one-off related to customer relationship. Is it related anyhow with the Diamond issue, please?
Yes, mostly, I would say, is also related to the Diamond. It's not that we have a problem in dealing with the provision we already have done last year, that you remember were 320 million. Now, because also of the possibility that we have the balance sheet and the situation that we are still a bit far from concluding the transaction with the clients, we have overcome 55% of transaction, but we still have 45% of transaction to deliver. So having a so good situation into the balance sheet, we consider a prudent approach to foster the provision. Again, I don't think that this can be utilized, but was, in my opinion, a good move in order to offset potential risk and overall accelerate the final definition of all these problems.
Sorry, one more thing, if I can. Have you changed your overall idea about the role that the regulator may play during an M&A deal? I remember you had very tough words about the SSM or the EBA about what they did during the Pop Milano Banco Popolare merger deal.
No, I don't, not tough. I think I am the only one, I would say, entitled to talk about this, because everybody speaks, but we are the only one to do it. So it's not tough, it's concrete, it's real. It's been an enormous amount of work to perform a merger so big, and I would say in such a also macro economic environment, and on top of that, we had also to face a lot of requests from ECB. But this is only normal. We expect this to come also for whatever happens in the market. Of course, we are very attentively considering all the opportunities, but having done a very strong experience on this field.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone of Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Two questions on costs. The first one is on personnel costs. You mentioned that some of the jump quarter-on-quarter in personnel costs was linked to upfronting certain elements of the banking contract. Can you please quantify the amount, given that 21 million up quarter-on-quarter, it's pretty big. So just to have a better idea of what the run rate without this would have been. We all know what the banking contract does next year, and we don't want to risk double counting the salary increase. Second point is on the depreciation. You have changed the accounting treatment. It's more a curiosity. I see that you have restated the previous quarters. The line depreciation is lower by 5 million every quarter, but you also have volatility every quarter through fair value. Do you expect this volatility to continue, or for the next few years you've done the exercise now, and there shouldn't really be any movement up and down? Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vercellone. Let's start from depreciation. We don't expect volatility just because we now have the fair value situation in which we can deliver any kind of disposal without looking at potential volatility on the transaction. The depreciation was one-off because, of course, we had to cut off all the depreciation we had already performed in the first three quarters when we didn't know yet that we would even go to this accounting model, but is for sure right, normalized and is continuing in this way also for 2020.
I meant on the new line that you have added, which is minus 7, minus 19, basically nothing, minus 131. So every quarter there's something.
No,
should there still be, that's it?
No, thank you for clarifying. No, I understood that you were mentioning the amortization, the depreciation, but even more on the profit and loss devaluation is completely one-off. So the accounting rules are that you have to immediately post on P&L any depreciation to the fair value. Meanwhile, you have to post a capital any revaluation of the fair value. So this is one-off. Now is that everything at fair value. Whatever we will do will be, of course, directly impacting our profit and loss, but not because of exceptional items, but because of potential disposal or potential new depreciation or revaluation of asset.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Cost personnel, no, maybe that I was not completely clear. We had some provision for 2019. We left this provision even though the contract is on 4 years, of course. So 2019 is already a part of the contract, but we have some room also to accommodate the potential increase in 2020. So is one-off the increase is one-off vis-à-vis the potential cost in next year.
But we know the potential cost. The contract has been signed. So,
and so
can you tell
what
us?
You mean?
I mean, you have upfronted a cost that has not come because the salaries go up on 1st of January 2020, not 2019.
Yes, as I mentioned, we have already provisioned what we have to pay starting from January 2020.
I'll follow up with investor relations. I just don't want to multiply something that
I shouldn't
be multiplying.
You don't have to add the contract also to 2020, of course. Or at least most of them. Then better if you talk with the IR for the details.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple. So can you please disclose the yield attached to the real estate asset subject to the reclassification in Q4? And have you repriced fees on current accounts for 2020? And if so, what impact do you expect from it in next year? Have you already discussed with the supervisor the potential application of calendar provisioning on the NPE stock for 2020? And just a minor clarification on capital. With market risk, AMA risk, and credit risk, are you referring to Basel IV or something else? Thank you very much.
I start from what I got more precisely. I think one question was on calendar provisioning. We do not consider impact in 2020. In our business plan, we will be again more clear, but we will start from 2021 to have some effect. Of course, in a static situation, but we are moving in order to avoid static situation. There is no other credit problem that we foresee, so if this was the question. For the yield on real estate, frankly speaking, I will revert to some of my colleagues because there are many calculations quite difficult depending on the different town and the different situation, instrumental, non-instrumental asset, landed, rented asset or not, asset utilized by ourselves. So I don't have a precise number to give you, but of course we have all the job done by our evaluator and by the external auditor that I think can clarify better your question, the answer to your question. Maybe I lost a bit of your many questions. Can you repeat some of them if I didn't answer?
Sure. And have you repriced fees on current accounts for 2020? And if so, what do you expect the impact would be in 2020? And also the risk you mentioned related to market risk, credit risk, and operational. Is it Basel IV or something else?
Okay, we have just approved a reprice maneuver for negative interest rate. I think that in 2020 will affect only for two quarters because, as you know, we have to wait the calendar day bylaws. So would be in the region, I think, of 20, 25 million for half year. Then the double, of course. Maybe the last question was related to the headwind. I mentioned that there is one question related to the definition of the IRB model, which is still to be approved, and I don't have practically any potential hint that I can give you. Meanwhile, for the other potential impact that we expect, which are market risk, specific risk, operational risk, and I don't know the update of time series. Of course, these will be the impact which I was mentioning in around 40 basis points.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to ask, and sorry if you was asked before, about the tiering benefit. What will be the incremental benefit in 2020 compared to the level of Q4 19? Thank you.
It's, as you know, we have an opportunity to utilize 6 billion, a bit more than 6 billion, so it would be something like in the region of 20 to 25 million.
But is that incremental to, you know, some was already booked in Q4, so is there incremental to the level Q4?
Q4, I don't know if you utilize for all the Q4 the 6 billion, I think it's 2 months or... No, almost. Okay, so starting from the beginning of October, so the Q4 already included the piece of increasing that I was mentioning before.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Cordara of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My first question is on the NP inflows. I'm looking at slide number 23. There was a big drop this quarter from an average of over 200 million in the previous quarter to 88 million. If you can give us some comments on why there has been such an improvement, maybe by splitting these numbers between gross flows and exit. And then my other question is similarly related. if you feel you can give us an idea of what could be the impact of the extension of the definition of default in terms of growth of additional one-off non-performing exposures. We saw some banks that have already adopted this new definition. And finally, my third question is, you had a very fat, very big trading line in Q4. What we should expect as a normal, inverted comma, trading line for future years? Because in Q4, obviously, you have Sorgenia, but you also have a very big capital gain from the placing of sovereign bonds. Thank you.
Okay. The first question is on NPE inflows. Basically, I would say, even though we consider a very good year in terms of normal inflows, considering normal, not big ticket, we were very affected by big ticket during the year. Luckily enough, in the fourth quarter, there were no big tickets. So let's hope that this could be at least more a range rather than the previous quarter. But of course, as you know, we have a so dedicated activity on that, and we immediately switch monitoring any situation as soon as we understand that it's not anymore performing. So let's say that was a good quarter, not affected by big ticket. Impact of DoD, I am not that sure that this will come for us this year because, as you know, we have applied for the one-step transition, but nevertheless, I think it's a minimal impact on our activity. Let's say that the cost could be, in terms of provision, around 30 million or more provision with a 3-4 basis point increase since when we will be applying the new definition of default. Then, sorry, you were talking about NFR. Of course, I think you follow us for many years. We have already had something in line with 120 million. Of course, my head of finance is staring at me because he always says that is almost difficult to reach these results every year, but it's very good. And as you see, we have good reserves in our book. So let's say that the normal impact is in the region of what I mentioned to you, but we are almost every year overperforming the normal impact.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. Castagna, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So let me thank you all the participants, and of course, we will be a bit around, but mainly in Milan, and we are willing to have everybody on board for the 3rd of March. Thank you. Bye.